Watching out for and preventing corruption and conflicts of interest is obviously important, but our next story takes ethical issues to a whole nother level. It's about politicians sabotaging peace efforts for no purpose other than their own political gain. Think about it, letting people continue to kill and be killed for the sake of one man's ambition. The man in this case was Richard Milhouse Nixon. The war, of course, was Vietnam. Newly found documents seem to connect Nixon himself to efforts to sabotage the Paris peace talks in the fall of 1968. The World's History guy Chris Wolfe has been looking over the evidence. Pretty extraordinary if this is all true. What is the evidence?
Well, I think we should just set the picture for listeners first, Marco. So let me quickly set the scene. 1968 was by far the bloodiest year of the Vietnam War for U.S. troops. More than 16,000 died. Tens of thousands were wounded. Many of the battles and those broken faces were seen live on TV. And U.S. public opinion, obviously, is starting to turn against the war. And it's an election year, right? So Nixon is the Republican candidate. He's not president yet. He's just an ordinary citizen. President Lyndon B. Johnson is stepping down. But he's making an all-out effort to stop the war. There's been talks with the Soviets who've agreed that they'll bring the North Vietnamese to the table if the U.S. can deliver the South Vietnamese, and everything's looking pretty rosy.
Yeah, it sounds pretty hopeful. What went wrong, though?
The South Vietnamese wouldn't play ball. They just procrastinated and ended up being half-hearted in the entire peace process. Now, U.S. intelligence at the time found a direct trail from the South Vietnamese government back to the Nixon campaign. The intelligence was talking about an effort to monkey wrench the talks from the Nixon campaign because he didn't want the Democrats to look good and it would help his political chances if the talks failed or were delayed. And now Johnson, at the time, before the election, was furious, but he refused to go public in the absence of any hard evidence linking Nixon himself to these efforts. In fact, it's something that Nixon denied to his dying day, that he would ever – he just couldn't contemplate in his conscience any thought about trying to sabotage the peace talks. It turns out that was a lie as well.
Yes. Yeah, so help us understand this, because as you say, Nixon was a private citizen. He wasn't even president-elect yet. What was the evidence connecting Nixon to the South Vietnamese?
Well, we have to give credit here to historian John Farrell, who found the notes kept by one of Nixon's top advisors, a guy called H.R. Haldeman, that listeners may remember later became chief of staff to Nixon and was one of the men prosecuted for the Watergate affair. So what he's found are notes of phone conversations that Haldeman had with Nixon dated October 22nd. 1968. So we're talking about 2 weeks before the election. And these include things like keep Anna Chenault working on SVN. Now, Anna Chenault was a woman whose husband had fought with China in World War II and was very closely connected to the South Vietnamese regime. And she was one of the people identified by U.S. intelligence as working to deliberately persuade them to scupper the peace talks. And they knew that she talked about having a message from the boss, like, keep fighting, you know, we're going to in this to win it kind of thing. And the evidence is that Nixon was trying to get her to continue to work on the South Vietnamese. There's other ways. He uses the phrase himself, any other way to monkey wrench it, literally to scupper the talks, anything else that he can do to help.
So maybe not a smoking gun, but maybe a gun with some smoke coming out of it. Do historians agree with this view?
A lot of them do. And a lot of people have actually used that phrase. This is the smoking gun that we've suspected for a long time. A few are a bit more cautious. The New York Times has a great survey of several historians in its coverage today. And you can see there that there's some who have reservations, but most are overwhelmingly of the opinion that this is the smoking gun.
Yeah, so as far as taking ethical issues to a whole new level this episode, I mean, how many Americans died after the Paris peace talks broke down?
21,200 plus. And then, of course, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese and other people in Southeast Asia.
Did the world miss a chance to end the Vietnam War in 1968?
It's possible. A lot of historians, though, think it's not plausible that the South Vietnamese didn't really need much persuasion to drag their feet or to try to scupper the talks. But we'll never know.
The World's History guy, Chris Wolfe, thanks for telling us about this.
Thank you, Marco.